Good morning. This is the Morning Liberty program. I don't usually talk about Planet X. It's okay, however. I appreciate John DiNardo and his effort. And I guess I'm kind of surprised that there are people who risk their lives to get this information out. I think, the way I look at things, everybody has a right to know. We have a right to know that these things are happening, but they, the cabal, the people that are behind all of this garbage, is they don't want us to know. They don't want us to panic. And is it okay, John, if we go to the phones?
Sure.
Our phone number is 1-800-313-9443. 1-800-313-9443. Mia in Massachusetts. Good morning. You're on.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I just had one question, and I've heard about this Planet X, but I've also recently heard about a giant comet that also comes around very infrequently, but is very, very large and very, very destructive. And I wanted to ask if you knew anything about that.
Yes.
And if that has the same kind of effect or any effect on our planet. I'll take my comment off the air. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Mia. Go ahead.
Planet X is that giant comet. You see, Planet X is on a cometary orbit. A cometary orbit is highly elliptical. Visualize a clothesline if you're old enough to remember the old clotheslines, or if you're too young to remember that, visualize a bicycle chain. Visualize a very long bicycle and with a chain, maybe 20, 30 feet long from the pedal sprocket wheel to the rear wheel sprocket wheel. Well, that bicycle chain would describe the highly elliptical orbit of Planet X. So it's a comet. It's the largest comet we've ever known, and it'll be the most destructive comet. But I wanted to interject and say that there's a lot of survival things that I wanted to talk about, and things that people need to do now. And I don't want to get off the question right now, but later on we could talk about survival from flooding that's occurring. Survival,
well, I've heard from other sources,
sinkholes, et cetera.
That there's a huge risk that, in fact, a comet may strike the Earth. And that there are people who say, well, the protection that the Earth has around it, gravitational protection, that there are many small comets that never make it in because of that protection. But it's possible that at some point a comet could come through that protection and strike the Earth. But this Planet X isn't going to come in and strike the Earth like we may think a comet might do.
No,
you're mentioning
that
it's like the chain on a bike. It's going to go, and then it's going to arrive, and then it's going to go back out. It's going to arrive, and then it's going to go back out. But go ahead.
Yes. You're in your backyard, and there's this huge circular picnic table. And somehow, by some magical force, the picnic table rises way up high in the air, maybe 20, 30 feet above you. Okay, at the center of that picnic table, suspended way up in the air, is a lamp. That would be the sun. And you're on the ground, and you have a slingshot with a large steel ball bearing, and you shoot this from the ground up in the air toward that picnic table. The ball bearing penetrates through the table, not at the center, but somewhere around halfway between the center and the edge. And then that ball continues from the underside of the table, through the table, and over the center, over the lamp at the center, and then back down again at the same point, or roughly the same point, on the opposite side of that lamp from which it entered. And it comes back down again. That is precisely the kind of path that this planet takes. We know from ancient history, and we know from modern science, both of them seem to agree that this is the kind of path this is taking. A scientist, Robert Harrington, proved that this planet is coming in from way below, just like the ball bearing. And the horizon of the table is
John,
the actual
John, hang on.
Plane.
Continue. This is RBN. We'll be back after this. It is now 8 minutes after. This is the Morning Liberty program. Thanks for tuning in. Our phone number, 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. I guess that this Planet X has come here before. If you go back in time, depending upon the data you examine, It may be called Planet of the Gods, known as the Winged Planet. I noticed an article, John, that you sent here, that even surrounded by the medicine wheel are wings upon it that, I guess, indigenous people here have written hundreds and hundreds of years ago. So apparently it's been here before, and now we have people today who say, well, this is just a lot of misinformation. This is just a lot of nonsense. Your science is flawed. You're trying to scare people. How dare you release this kind of information? There's no truth to the matter. Interesting, the public would be giving that kind of response to some of the information, John, that you've been sharing.
Well, that response comes from the people who hire others to try to discourage people and distract them and ridicule the subject because they don't care about saving lives. You and I, we care about saving lives, and that's why we're telling people that they can protect themselves. They can find both material protection if they act now and spiritual protection. For example, I've been storing water. I take as many plastic bottles as I can find from my relatives and my own use, and I rinse them out real well and fill them up with tap water and store them because the day may come when we have no water coming out of our taps. And sure enough, today, you can't drink water in many parts of northern New Jersey because what I believe, what seems to be the shifting of the earth has caused water mains to break all over northern New Jersey in six towns surrounding the town of Clifton. So those people have no water, and the News 12, New Jersey Channel 12 is saying, boil your water before drinking. But there may come a time when there is no water, so you can store water. You can store
in the Gulf area, I have seen tests that people are doing with their tap water, and they're finding in the middle of the testing they're doing, there have been examples of that it becomes explosive what's in the water. In the Gulf area, there are people who cannot even drink their water. Another interesting aspect of that is our skin. People have no idea. Our skin is like the largest organ on our body. But our skin drinks in the water, not just orally, it drinks in through our skin. And if we're impacted by the water in the Gulf area, it can be toxic.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, RJ. There's something people can do to prevent the toxins, that toxic oil and chemicals, from entering their body, or at least to minimize it, and also to get it out of our body once it's in there. The first thing you can do is get charcoal, solid carbon block filters. I have that in my reverse osmosis filtering system. That will pick up all the organics, the oil and chemicals that are in the water. So get yourself several solid carbon block filters. Also gravity filters with carbon. Another thing is you can take carbon internally. It's powder. It comes in a charcoal form. Charcoal powder is used in all the emergency rooms and hospitals for people who have been poisoned. So it's a very commonly accepted and safe way to extract the poisons from your body. There's an article that I have in a book by John Dinsley, who wrote the book CharcoalRemedies.com. He's an expert on charcoal and its healing effects. John Dinsley states in that book, CharcoalRemedies.com, that there was a man who wrote to him, and he worked for the oil companies. He and five other employees were highly poisoned with benzene accidentally in the process of their job. He was the most toxified. However, four of them died, and he survived because he had heard about charcoal, and he was taking the charcoal internally. It actually absorbs many times more than its own weight in toxins and excretes them from the body. So people in the South have to know, people along the Gulf Coast have to know, they've got to start ingesting charcoal powder on a daily basis. Of course, you need to take minerals to replenish the minerals that may be extracted with the charcoal. So this is the one way they can save their lives.
Wow. But, a simple remedy, just like that, charcoal. I've heard that you mentioned that you could burn your toast, and if you eat toast that has been burnt, it could be a healthy thing.
It might be, although, I have to worry about burnt benzopyrene. Now, this is a special kind of charcoal, I think, that you can buy that is made, without carcinogenic elements. Somehow certain elements do not have carcinogens. But anyway, that's just one of many survival things that we can pick up on. Another is how to protect ourselves from the flooding, which is becoming rampant all over the world. I've seen films over the last couple of weeks of towns becoming raging rivers in Germany, in Poland, in Spain, and of course you mentioned Pakistan. That state, that land has become an ocean. A land surface turned into an ocean. So
Al Gore has been running around for a couple of years warning people that if there are cities around the world whose sea level is so low that they will be inundated with the ocean levels that will be rising. And apparently it's not just ocean levels, but the monsoon rains that have come down there in the Pakistan area. And now we have, you say, rising of new ground, I guess, in the Gulf area. The floor of the ocean rising up and bringing new land masses. This stuff is just outrageous.
Yeah.
You ready for us to take the next call?
Okay.
John, he's ready to take your questions. John DiNardo joining us, talking about Planet X. Ooh. Rodney in Illinois, you're on. Good morning.
Hello, RJ and John. I'm curious about the actual orbit and trajectory of Planet X. You know, we all know that, like Halley's Comet, you know, has something like a 100-year, 75-year orbit, you know, and you know, they can plot the trajectory almost, you know, to the inch. I mean, very, very accurately. And I find it hard to believe that Planet X is not also, you know, calculated to such degrees. And I'm guessing that information is not available.
Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, there is a, we can track the trajectory and also the time, the period. That is the time it takes, how frequently it comes in and when it will come in. So you're right. Comets are like a pendulum. A pendulum is a timekeeping element. And if you've seen the grandfather's clock, that pendulum has a precisely measurable period at which it goes to one extreme and then swings back to the other extreme. And that's how they keep time, by use of that pendulum. Well, likewise, comets are also celestial pendulums. We have two extremes. One extreme is the sun. The other extreme is another distant dead sun, which has been discovered far away, many, many billions of miles out into deep space. If you visualize that horizontal picnic table that I was telling you about, that represents the invisible disk in space about which all the planets revolve around the sun. But that's our solar system is seen very often as only a two-dimensional thing, like a CD or a compact disk that you put on your CD player. The hub in the center of the CD would be likened to the sun, and that's a disk, but this is a horizontal disk. However, our solar system is three-dimensional, not just disk, the dimensions of the invisible disk about which all the planets revolve around the sun, but we've got a lot of space above that disk and below that disk, and that's where that distant sun is, like on the ground. Again, visualize that that table elevated in space. If I were to say better than, instead of saying, using the analogy of shooting a ball bearing, take a baseball and throw that ball up. And if you could somehow penetrate the table and have the ball go through the table from the underside of the table and then loop over the sun and then come back down through the table again, that's the orbital path, highly elliptical orbital path of Planet X. And it takes 3,660 years approximately for it to make an entry. So every 3,660 years, we have had global destruction. If you go back in history, 1630 BC, 3,660 years ago, there was the exodus of the Israelites, exodus from Egypt, where all the plagues of Egypt that are described in the Bible, of the book of Exodus, are also recounted in much greater in detail and in secular detail in a document called the Ipuwer Papyrus, I-P-U-W-E-R, Papyrus, P-A-P-Y-R-U-S, Papyrus is a scroll. These are survivors. Egyptian survivors were very meticulous historians. Those few people who survived wrote down the actual effects of what happened to them. And I've got a book here. It's kind of terrifying. It's called Planet X and the Colburn Bible Connection. Well, this is where papyrus has been incorporated into the Colburn Bible. And it talks about, it says, I'll try to paraphrase one of the things it says. It says, people forget the days of the destroyer. Incidentally, the destroyer is the name that God gives to this devastating celestial body in the book of Exodus chapter 12 when he says, I will cause the destroyer to come over and kill all of the firstborn of Egypt. Well, in the Ippur papyrus, they also call it destroyer. And it goes, the ancient writing goes to this effect. People forget the days of the destroyer, and that it will come in its appointed time. In days past, we see the normal course of the planets and the stars. Their movements are regular and predictable. However, a time comes when everything becomes confused and the sky begins to sort of rotate and the stars look like they're wobbling. That's the Earth wobbling in its orbit. And we'll talk more about how a slowing top can be likened to what happens to planet Earth as this planet comes in and gravitationally slows down that spinning top.
Wow. Rod, are you there? Hang on. We'll continue after the break. This is the Morning Liberty Program. It is 23 minutes after. This is the Morning Liberty Program. Our phone number, 1-800-313-9443. 1-800-313-9443. My guest, John DiNardo. We're talking about Planet X. We're also examining the evidence of how this is impacting the Earth and how they don't want much of this information released. Interesting, Sheldon Day also has been willing to talk about some of this. In fact, it looks like somebody may have been killed over this information. Talking about Matt Simmons, looks like he was ready to release even more information showing what BP and these corporations have been doing in the Gulf, showing how these toxic chemicals being sprayed upon the ocean to hide the oil that is coming up there. Interesting, John, what do you know about them? And them taking out Matt Simmons?
Matt Simmons, as I read, was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He was a top-level oil executive. And because of his high credibility, they knew, the power elite knew, that the public would believe him if he was allowed to talk. He got on the Radican program on Fox News, I believe, and I saw the, I don't watch television hardly at all, but I saw it on YouTube, and Matt Simmons stated that, he said, I saw that oil plume, and they actually showed a view of this still camera, this camera that's planted down there in the Gulf of Mexico below the, near the seabed, and it's constantly viewing this plume of oil come up. And he said, I saw a couple white fish go right through this oil plume, and they came right back out again. He says, I realized that this oil plume is nothing. I mean, there's virtually, the pressure is nowhere near the 50 or 60,000 PSI that it's supposed to be, that it actually is. And he says the real leak, the real oil pressure is about 6 miles away on the bed of the Gulf of Mexico, 6-7 miles away from this supposed oil drilling point. Well, when he said that, he actually unveiled the lie that the power elite and BP have been telling us. And that, of course, scares them because they don't want the people to know that this is a natural disaster. This is one of many, but they can't keep it secret very long. They know they're racing against time because they're getting ready to go underground. They have their underground cities built already. But as long as they can keep us deceived and kill anybody who talks, and, you know, I hope that... I know that God is with me, so I don't really worry about it. I just trust God in my life. In fact, this is good for me because it causes me to come closer to God and to feel His presence and to be aware of His presence more than I ever have been.
Rodney, in Illinois, are you still there? Do you have any more questions for John DiNardo?
Yes, I do, and that was a very, very lengthy answer to my first one. I'm not sure that I even got my question out, but my question has to do with, and the reason I mentioned Halley's Comet is the Earth being the contrast to the comet. You know, am I correct to say that comets typically achieve their highest rate of speed the nearer and as they go around the sun.
Yes.
Am I correct? Okay.
Yes, now, because the gravitational.
You mentioned the opposite dark sun or other mass that Planet X revolves around. That's the first time I've heard this, but my question has to do with the speed of Planet X. I mean, you suggested it's already within our solar system. Do you mean within the orbit of Pluto, or are you saying our solar system goes, you know, much further than that, and it's still quite a distance away? And how fast is this thing moving? I would think that it would, once, you know, since we're talking about this, it seems like it would happen, you know, and be done with in a matter of months, just like Halley's Comet was.
Well, I have evidence to indicate that that Planet X is probably right below the ecliptic. That is that invisible disk in space on which all the planets revolve around the sun. I have circumstantial evidence to indicate that it's getting ready to come up from below and through the ecliptic right now. We have, here's the first piece of evidence. Back in July of 2009, all of a sudden, or sometime during 2008 to 2009, the sun went abruptly quiet in its flaring. It was a drastic change, a very shocking change in the hyperactivity of the sun. The sun went from a state of extreme, unprecedented hyperactivity from around the year 2000 until around the year 2007. Around 2007, it should have been least active. 2005, it should have been least active because at that point, Jupiter, which causes most of the solar activity, Jupiter was most distant from the sun in its orbit. And therefore, that Jupiterian, 11-year Jupiterian cycle of activity should have caused the sun to be at its minimum activity of solar flaring. However, contrary to that, it was just the opposite. We had intense solar flaring around 2005 and the years leading up to 2005. Then all of a sudden, the sun shut down, like almost like a light switch turning off. And I had speculated or surmised from that the reason for it was that Planet X was now coming up below. Again, visualize that baseball coming up from down below the disk. And it's going up in the air, getting ready to... It's making a big curve now. It's curving below Pluto, the outer planet, and then curving closer in toward the bottom of Jupiter. And that's where all the electrical discharging was occurring between Planet X and Jupiter. Hence, the Earth was being starved of electrical discharges and therefore no flaring of the sun. Now the flaring has resumed again, indicating that my theory was right. So therefore, it's getting closer.
Rodney, hang on, John. We'll be right back. This is RBN. You know, from the main news, it's interesting how much misinformation is coming out now about this oil in the Gulf area and the Corexit 9500 that they continue to spray in the Gulf area. It was a couple of weeks ago, really. I remember when Obama publicly mentioned, you know, so that everybody could see, and it was on every news channel, that most of the oil is gone and that it's now safe to go into the water. And now BP, they continue to say, yeah, we're here until it's over. We're here. We're going to clean up the oil. And they just continue to spray more Corexit there in the Gulf area. Even today, from Mississippi, we're hearing that the oysters are fine. The shrimp is fine. The Gulf is fine. Come on and play in the water. Come on and eat all of this seafood that has been sprayed with Corexit. We should now call it Corexit seafood. Oh, my word. Rodney, are you still there?
Yes, sir. I am.
I think you probably have more questions. Go ahead.
Just a couple. A guy by the name of Marshall Masters. Have either of you seen his video presentations on Planet X?
Yes. I know him. I know Marshall Masters.
I mean, if you don't mind, I'm sure the audience would, if they haven't seen it already, would find that very educational. And I was wondering what your take is on his information.
He's an excellent researcher on Planet X. In fact, I'm glad you brought this up. The book Planet X by Masters, Marshall Masters. I won't give you the whole title, but just Planet X Forecast. You can look up Planet X Forecast by Masters. And in this book, I was planning to read this to you. this is a very amazing excerpt here. Quote, the manner, I guess I'm going to get into something like the deep underground military bases that they've created in order to flee and hide themselves from the destruction that's coming.
DUMBs. There you go.
DUMBs, right.
DUMBs.
These are for, I had never understood why they would want to go underground to protect themselves against earthquakes. I've since found out that they claim that if the place is located in a proper depth, proper point in the Earth's surface, below the Earth's surface, it can be safe. And if it's constructed properly, it can be safe. But also, here's a major reason why they're going underground. And I realized that when I saw the movie Knowing, K-N-O-W-I-N-G, in 2009. Everybody should see that movie because they're warning us about what is about to happen. I realized that solar scorching is the major reason why they're going underground, because people are going to be scorched on the surface of the Earth. This warning has been put out by none other than the highest scientific organizations in the United States, the National Academy of Sciences. As scientist and researcher Larry Joseph says on his TV broadcast with Governor Jesse Ventura, he says, it's not me saying this, Governor, it's the National Academy of Science, which is the highest, most credible organization, like our Supreme Court of Science in the United States. And they say we're going to have intense solar scorching, solar flaring in the year 2012, because we know that Jupiter is reaching its perihelion, para meaning closest to helion, meaning the sun. Jupiter is reaching its perihelion point where it's closest to the sun, and therefore it will electrically excite and gravitationally excite the sun to flare out. But at the same time, you'll have Planet X coming in too. The National Academy of Sciences doesn't want to talk about Planet X. They just want to talk about the effects, because in a way they're trying to subtly warn us that we're about to undergo great destruction. They say the power grids will be destroyed. It happened already. It's not speculation. It's based upon experience. Back in 1859, Larry Joseph goes on to explain to Governor Ventura in his True TV broadcast, Apocalypse 2012, which you can get on YouTube, that back in 1859, and we have films of it, of the power lines, the lines actually were telegraph lines, and they were frizzled, fried by these intense, incredible solar scorching that occurred in the year 1859. However, at that time, it was basically a primitive society, not depending very much on wires. So they were not disrupted. However, we have a very complex power grid system with a lot of complex, delicate equipment connected to it. These solar flares are so powerful, they're like lightning strikes, and they will damage the power lines, destroy the power lines, disable our power, and destroy all the sensitive equipment upon which our society depends. So we will, there's no way we can avoid going back into a primitive existence as we get closer to 2012. But it's not like a light switch turning on. It's like a dimmer switch.
Our standard of living now
the dimmer switch.
Our standard of living is so based upon this electric grid and our technology, and sometimes like we're so smart, but sometimes we can really be so dumb. When we take a look at how, I recall years ago realizing when computers came in, right? I remember being in grade school and then moving on and watching computers slowly take over everything. And now cell phones and our computers, and it's like the power can go down and stores shut their doors. It's like, and you see cashiers, I go to the cashier and then I know how much change will come back from my purchase, and I do it in my head, and people can't do it without a calculator, without a computer telling them. It's like without our electric grid, people, it's like they stop thinking, they stop having a life. And it's like there are things that we need to understand. There are things that we need to know, that because of all of this technology, we have forgotten how to be just regular people living on the land, being friends with Mother Earth. It's like we have become so intelligent. Sometimes we are just so dumb.
Yes, we have to start preparing now, because when those delicate computer systems go, there will be no food transport. Also, you see the power, the undersea mains are being broken now, water mains being broken by the shifting earth caused by these mantle plumes coming up. You're going to have natural gas lines broken. There will be no natural gas in some areas, and during the wintertime, you'll see oil mains being broken. You'll see highways fractured. Once a highway fracture occurs, You know, you've got all these blockages. You'll see seaport tsunamis. Tsunamis occurring, very high waves, too. We have evidence from the Weather Channel of the wave activity is increasing, and it will continue to increase. So the seaports, the highways, the gas mains, the water mains will be broken. We
fancy
have to go
movie.
Back to self-sustaining our lives.
There was this fancy movie not very long ago called 2012, and it's like within the course of, 2.5 hours, they start showing all of the things that you were just commenting on, John. The highway breakage and quakes over here and oceans going beyond their bounds. And I guess it can be kind of scary. And it's like from what you're talking about, it may occur with this, with slower motion than we may have seen on the movie 2012.
Regarding how quickly it will occur, as our caller mentioned, he wanted to know how fast is it going. All I can say is that it is accelerating tremendously, because as two gravitationally attracted bodies get closer and closer, the gravitational force of attraction increases not linearly but exponentially. So this thing is speeding up at a mind-boggling rate as it approaches, as it's being sucked in by the gravitational pull of our sun. But on a hopeful note, I want to tell people that they can survive. There is food to be gotten in their own backyard. They can grow. There are also edible plants. If we get the right books that tell us what foods are, what plants are edible, God has given us everything we need to survive. And so I want you to be hopeful. I want you to be prepared, not to be scared. And if you care, teach others to prepare.
There's a store that I have found to be a real resource, and that's, I'm thinking probably across America you're going to find bookstores for Boy Scouts, where you can go and get supplies for Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts. And I found in this neck of the woods that there are a couple of books that you can find about all of the things up in the mountains that are edible, that it's really difficult to know what is and what isn't the way we live these days, the standard of living that we now have. But I found that that's a really good resource. I found that there are color pictures of the very plants that are edible that the American Indians used to be aware of. I guess many still are, as well as scouting technology books that show you when you go up into nature what you can eat and what you can't eat. I thought that was an interesting resource. Rodney, are you still there?
Yeah, I've got one more question, if you don't mind. Weather, as in, you know, atmospheric weather, is subjective. Even tidal waves, earthquakes, you know, they're subjective when it comes to attributing those things to Planet X. My question is, objectively, what do you think will be the most obvious objective observation of the effect of Planet X? And my thought is that it will disrupt satellite feeds, communications, and that will directly impact, of course, every person in First World Order. I think you've already been touching on that question somewhat, but that was my final question. What is the most objective thing do you think will occur that will be obvious to the average man? Thank you.
Okay. You mentioned some of these natural disasters there as being subjective. No, they are definitely objective. The most obvious, it's hard to say, because they're all going to be very shocking to many people and very disrupting to our lives. Earthquakes have been on the increase, very noticeable increase. And, of course, if you're in an earthquake area, that's very obvious and very destructive to a person, to a whole population in that area. So we're having more earthquakes. We're having more volcanic eruptions. Notice the one that occurred near Iceland recently, or in Iceland. We're going to see more of these volcanic eruptions. Tsunami, there will probably, now this is not from me, but from the scientists are saying there will be a tsunami that will strike the East Coast and cause tremendous devastation when the Cumbre Vieja volcanic mountain slides off from its western flank of where it's located off the west coast of Africa in the Canary Island chain. The Cumbre Vieja, the scientists tell us, and I have the documentaries from the BBC, that this island has been dislodged by about 12-foot margin separated from the island proper ever since 1949. It's like a brick at the top of a sliding board. You place a brick there, and it could slide down there, but there's too much friction. However, if you pour some oil there, and then you reduce the friction, that brick will slide all the way down the sliding board. Likewise, this 500 billion ton, that's a half a trillion ton, western flank of the Cumbria Vieja, the volcanic island, they say will definitely slide down when the volcano starts to heat up and erupt, because there's lots of water, rainwater, trapped in that 12-foot margin throughout the entire mountain from the peak down to its base. And that water will quickly heat up and boil. And as you know, steam is a very powerful force. Steam will reduce the friction and allow it to slide into the Atlantic Ocean. That, they say, landslide-driven tsunamis are much greater in amplitude, probably 10 times greater in amplitude than our undersea earthquake-driven tsunamis, like the one that occurred in Christmas of 2004. So this one, because it displaces a lot of land when it comes in, it's like dropping a big cannonball into a swimming pool. That cannonball will displace far more water than its actual volume. And these are the figures that they estimate from their research at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology and at the colleges in London that are all studying this, what will happen when it does happen, when it does slide into the sea. They say that the tsunami wave will travel at a speed of about 450 miles an hour. That's the speed of a jetliner, and it will take about eight hours to reach the eastern coast of the Americas, from Canada all the way down to South America. That means all the major cities, Boston, New York, Norfolk, Miami, will be inundated. You have 8 hours notice, and this is another thing, without scaring people, but I've been trying to urge people to start a network of emergency medical personnel who will live and work along the shores of the Atlantic, and to network together, because I believe that emergency medical people are the most dedicated and caring about human life. Many of them work for nothing. They work as volunteers because they care. And I would think these are the people that we can help to get an early warning system, so that when we see that volcano begin to erupt and get hot, we can urge people to flee inland. If we wait to the last minute, there will be gridlock. So tsunamis are going to be a major, very conspicuous disaster. Earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, flooding right now was predicted by the ancient Mesopotamians during the time of the last passage, and this was recorded by Zechariah Sitchin in his book, The Twelfth Planet, where he talked about the ancient historians recorded, and we found it archaeologically discovered writings, wherein these Mesopotamian historians stated that the first sign, one of the first major signs of this incoming planet, is intense torrential rainfall and flooding, epic flooding. And because I've got about 250 hours of Weather Channel severe weather reports recorded and stored since 2004, I've seen epic flooding. I just can't count the number of places that have had epic flooding, but the people tend to forget about it. Up in the Mississippi River, north Midwest, around Iowa, that there was epic flooding there. There was epic flooding in Kentucky. There was epic flooding in Texas.
So you're saying the epic flooding in Pakistan and China are no accidental events, that they're part of this impact of Planet X now.
That's right. I can tell you meteorologically explain how this happens. What happens is when the sun is excited by this incoming Planet X, when the sun gets excited, it puts out a tremendous amount of flares. These flares are actually comprised of charged particles, that is, positively electrically charged protons, which are called plasma, and electrons. These electrified gases are blown out and are called solar winds. When they strike the Earth's magnetic field, is supposed to protect us from these solar winds, but the Earth's magnetic field is now getting broken down by constantly being battered by these solar winds, and the Earth's magnetic field is also being broken down because the molten iron regular core flows, the flows of this electrical currents that actually occur when you have this molten iron and rotating, because the charged particles, I guess the electrical charge of the iron itself begins to line up like the atoms in a magnet. And as you rotate a magnet, the magnet produces electricity, and that keeps the magnetic field strong. But now it's getting broken down because the Earth's core flow is getting all messed up from these
celestial
bodies.
You know, your description of the magnet here, that is so apropos, really.
And as a result, now we're getting this weather, but I'll explain to you what that does to the jet stream.
We'll have 4 minutes when we come back. This is the Morning Liberty Program. We'll be back after this at RBN. We are back. Good morning. This is the Morning Liberty Program. I hope you have benefited from John DiNardo taking the time this morning. I really did not realize that they could take somebody out like Matt Simmons. Many patriots right now are being taken out, have been taken out this summer, snuffed out just like that. I remember Bill Cooper when he was surrounded at his own home. He had a gun. I think we have a right to defend ourselves. Well, like a SWAT team took him down. And that this very issue, John, about Planet X, is like they have built for themselves more than 100 DUMBs, deep underground military bases, and the word to bug out has already been given. We have seen John Moore addresses this every weekend, that their order to move out west, to leave these cities that are so close to sea level, and move to the Rocky Mountains, where many of these DUMBs are, for safety. And it's like they know, but it's like they don't want the public to know. I think being a member of We the People, being one of the public, that we do have a right to know. That's why I do this. And we have about 3 minutes to 4 minutes left, and I'm thinking, all of this, John, all of this information is so critical. Right now, people do need to know. And I think many of us, I remember hearing about the city of Atlantis, and I'm thinking, the city of Atlantis, that's like folklore. You know, that's like the tooth fairy. That's like Santa Claus. There's no such thing. There's no way that ever existed. You know, where's the evidence? You know, where's the history? And yet you've alluded to it a couple of times this morning that, yeah, it was there. And that this is no science fiction. That this is already having these massive rains and floods, and is that it's very much evidence that this thing is active. There's truth to it, John.
Yes, I mean, there's so much evidence on Atlantis. Brent Miller of the Horizon Project tells us from his research, his group of scientists have researched and found undersea cities sunken off the coast of all the nations of the world, 3,000 feet off, I forget how many feet off the coast of Cuba are sunken cities, ancient cities. I have a videotape going back to 1980 where they did undersea explorations and found off the coast of Bermuda and off the coast of Florida, 40 miles off the coast of Florida, they found what is called the Bimini Road. And this is an ancient, I guess it's marble roadway and wall from the ancient city of Atlantis. They found its pyramid, and they actually did a sonar picture in this old videotape that I have of an undersea pyramid with the capstone removed. And it was just amazing. Even then, they had the ancient occult hierarchy that existed even then. I wanted to get into the deep underground military bases, and Phil Schneider, the American patriot who worked for them and went public. They murdered Phil Schneider because he was telling us about 131 deep underground military bases that they have from Marshall Masters' book. It's
wow.
A detailed write-up, Marshall Masters.
Can we do that next time, John, when we come together in September?
Sure.
Is that okay?
That'd be terrific.
This stuff is so crucial, and I'll have my people get in touch with your people, and we will do that. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Next week on Monday, Pastor Manning will be joining me in the hour following mine. I'll be back tomorrow with John Bailey, so I will see you then. This is RBN. With